Your music team, appreciate that. I want to invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, and we're going to read from verse 38. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Just so far this evening. Father, you are beautiful to us, and we have come to recognize that this evening. We've come to praise that truth, Lord, and we've come to listen from our beautiful Lord and our beautiful Savior so that we might live lives that are pleasing to you. And so as we hear from you now, Lord, through your word, we ask that you would speak into our hearts and encourage us as we strive to live those lives that you will honor one day. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Fuel is a pretty important commodity in our lives today, isn't it? In fact, if you came by car this evening to church, you needed fuel. You needed petrol to get you, or diesel, whatever your car takes, in order to get you. If you were going overseas on a holiday, or if you were flying to Johannesburg or around the world on business, jet fuel is important for you to get there. Without it, you would be still stuck here. Other fuel that we experience in our lives, things like electricity, our household appliances. We need that fuel of electricity to run those household appliances. The lights, the air conditioners that we're enjoying here this evening. All because of that important fuel, electricity in our lives. Fuel is an important part of everyday life. It helps the things that we rest on and we depend on to function, to help our lives be a little bit more easier and comfortable. But what about the Christian life? What about the Christian life? What fuel do we need to live the Christian life, to be effective in the Christian life? To be ones that embrace the Christian life? Well, I think our passage leads us to the answer this evening. Our passage tells us that Jesus and his disciples were on their way to somewhere. We know from the context that is found in Luke's Gospel chapter 9 and verse 51 where that somewhere was. It says, as the time approached for Jesus to be taken up to heaven, he resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Jesus' life and ministry was coming to an end. The shadow of the cross was truly upon him. It was not long now when he would depart this world and return to be with his Father in heaven and leave his followers all by themselves here on this earth without him, living in response to the brief period they've had to interact with the Son of God and hear his teachings and witness the great work of the cross. They'd be all by themselves, living in response to that. A few more days and weeks left for Jesus now to impart to them what they needed to know, what they needed to understand about living life without him, about living the Christian life, living the life that pleases God the way he wants us to. And so it's not surprising that we see, after being invited and opened to come and stay in the home of Martha, that he takes this opportunity to teach and to preach God's word, God's way in which his followers would live a life that would glorify and magnify and honor God in this time here on earth. And so at this critical time in his life, with the end so near, Jesus knew that his word was the fuel they needed to live their lives after he departs, the life that would be pleasing to God. It was the fuel that they needed in order to live the life that God was pleased with. His word would be the fuel that would encourage their service. His word would be the fuel that would encourage their worship. His word would be the fuel that would encourage their life of love for him and devotion to him. It was his word that would be the lamp to their feet and the light to their paths as they would live in a dark world without Jesus. And so in these closing days and weeks that lay ahead, Jesus chooses to invest every opportunity that comes his way. He wants to invest in that opportunity into the lives of his followers, filling them up with the word of God. Now we know from John's gospel that Martha and her sister Mary and their brother Lazarus were loved by Jesus. They were very close to Jesus. Jesus often spent a lot of time in this household. He had a close relationship with all three of them. We also know that they lived in a village called Bethany, which was about 3 kilometers outside of Jerusalem. And so Jesus was nearing the end of this last journey that he was taking. And after being invited to stay in Martha's home, he took that opportunity to fill their lives with his word. And verse 39 tells us that even Mary, Martha's sister, was also at the feet of Jesus, implying that Martha was there too, along with the disciples, and probably even Lazarus, allowing Jesus to fill their lives with the word of God, the scriptures. Just put yourself in Jesus' position this evening. That opportunity might be the last opportunity that he had with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus to entrust them with and to teach them the words of life, the words of eternal life. And so you can imagine the importance of this occasion. You can imagine how Jesus was taking every opportunity that he could to make sure that they understood clearly the gospel message, the life that God wanted them to live. I'm sure he was explaining the gospel as clear as he could. I'm sure that he was answering their questions and making sure that they really understood God's way of salvation, God's way of living a life that would honor him and would result in eternal life with him. But in the middle of this intense teaching moment, we read how Martha is distracted. She gets up and walks off. Verse 40 says that she was distracted. Now the Greek word translated distracted in our English translations there carries a meaning of being pulled away, being dragged away. It means that Martha really wanted to sit at the feet of Jesus. She really wanted to listen and be fueled and filled with the word of God, the way in which she should live her life without Jesus or in response to what Jesus would do for her. But something was pulling, something was dragging her away from that word. Verse 40 says that it was all the preparations that needed to be made to host Jesus and his 12 disciples here on this occasion. Now I want you to remember that Martha had come to Jesus and opened her home to him. Opened her home to his disciples as well as they journeyed to Jerusalem. She did this because she wanted to serve him. She wanted to show him how much she was devoted to her Savior. She wanted to show him how much she loved him as her Savior and Lord. She wanted him to see clearly just how committed she was to him and how she was committed to a life of pleasing him. Martha has the desire that Jesus wants from all of his followers. What she wants to do for Jesus is good. It's not bad in and of itself. As followers of Jesus Christ, we should all have that desire. We should all want to serve Jesus. We should all want to show him just how much he means to us in the way we live our lives, the way we worship him, the way we serve him. But those desires become a reality in the way God wants them to when our hearts are filled with his word, when our hearts are responding to that life-giving word. But Martha leaves the listening to the word of God, the filling of the word of God in her life. And in that moment, as she's being dragged away, she chooses to ignore the word and go and serve and prepare to host Jesus and his 12 disciples. And so she chooses to serve Jesus by taking care of all the preparations that might have been preparing a meal for him, that might have been making up an extra 13 beds in the house. It might have been making sure that there was a space and things for them to wash up before dinner. Whatever it might be, Martha chooses to go off and follow that distraction instead of staying by Jesus' feet and listening to the word of life. You see, the lives we live pleasing God are lives that are directly responding to the word of God. And when we discover God's word and what it has in store for us, then we want to live, we desire to live lives that are pleasing to him. It is the fuel that drives our worship. You see, when we discover in God's word that God loves us even while we were rebelling against him, when we discover in God's word that God is patient with us, longing that none will perish because of our penalty for our sin, when we discover in God's word that God makes the greatest sacrifice anybody could ever make in order to rescue us from our desperate situation, when we discover that he is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, full of mercy, when we discover in God's word that he leverages bad situations in our lives, suffering situations in our lives for our good and for his glory, when we discover in God's word all these and the other realities about God and his involvement in your life and my life, we want to respond by worshiping him. We want to respond by serving him. We want to respond by living the life that God wants us to live, that pleases him. And that's why it's so important for Jesus to fill his followers with the word of God, so that when he departs, that fullness of the word of God would be pouring out of their lives and living a life in response to that word, a life that pleases God. But here in these moments, Martha chooses to do it alone. She chooses to serve Jesus without being fueled by the word of God. And where did that leave her? Well, verse 40 tells us it left her not responding to the sacrifice or unconditional love of God in her life, but rather it left her responding to herself, responding to her great sacrifice that she was making, responding to her hard work, responding to her hospitality, her love, her grace, her mercy. And that self-centeredness led her to resenting her service and those whom she was serving. Luke gives us a glimpse into Martha's heart here. He says she came to Jesus after a while and said to him, "Lord, what's happening? Don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work? Don't you care? Tell her to help me, Jesus. Tell her to get off her butt and come into the kitchen and help me." Did Martha really lose sight of the fact that Jesus was telling her just how much he cared for her and for the world, that he was going to give his life in service for them? Yet she did not see that. You see, her heart's response was not, I'm doing this because of what Jesus is going to do for me. No, it was rather, I'm doing this because nobody else sees what I'm doing. See, the focus is off Jesus immediately and off his word, which is precisely what Jesus didn't want to happen when he departs and goes to be with his Father. He wants the word of God to be so ingrained in our lives, to be the fuel that sees us respond to life according to the way God wants us to respond. Martha's not living in response to who Jesus is and what he is going to do for her. Sees her become self-centered in her attitude towards her service of Christ. And what happens is Martha puts the focus on herself and she says to Jesus, tell Mary to help me. I'm the one that needs to be magnified. Look at my life and what I'm doing for you, Jesus. I'm the one that's doing what is right. I'm the one that is doing what is pleasing. I'm the one who truly knows what is needed in life. Without me, none of this would happen. Tell her, Jesus, tell her to come help me. You see, if we're not fueled by the word of God, our service of God becomes an opportunity to shift the spotlight off Jesus and onto ourselves. The very thing that God wants to change in our lives. The very thing that God wants us to get away from. The very thing that Jesus doesn't want to happen in the next few days. Because when we do put the spotlight on ourselves and we do become self-centered, well, we know where that leads to. Living a life that does not please God. And the perfect example of this was probably one of the men in the room with Jesus on this occasion. Judas. A man whose service of Christ became self-centered. What Martha meant for good and wanting to serve and wanting to be devoted and please the Son of God turned out to be the very opposite. And her act of devotion turned out to be the very thing that Jesus did not want of his followers. For Jesus did not want our lives to be lived being self-centered. He wanted our lives to be centered on God and his grace and his love for us. And responding to that by living a life that pleases him. But I love the response that Jesus gives to Mary. What a response that shows just the God whom he was. He says to her, Martha, Martha, oh my dear Martha, you are upset and worried about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better. And it will not be taken away from her. Martha, you have been doing all these things for me. You've been making all these preparations for us. And where has it gotten you? It's gotten you worried and upset, Martha. But Martha, you only needed one thing to focus on. You only need one thing in order to serve and show me just how much you were devoted to me. Mary chose that one thing. Mary chose that better thing. And if you had chosen that one thing and that better thing, you too wouldn't be worried. You too wouldn't be upset. You too wouldn't be focusing the spotlight on yourself. But in your service of me, you'd be focusing the spotlight on God Almighty. The one thing, the better thing that Mary chose was to be fueled, was to be filled with the word of God, so that her response might be the response that God is looking for and is pleased with. Martha, Jesus says, your service will be taken away from you because it will not please God. But Mary's heart is right. She's being filled with the word of God, and her service will be used by God to magnify his name and for Mary's good. And that will never be taken from her. She will be honored because of it by my Father, both now and forevermore. Friends, Jesus wants our hearts this evening to be filled with his word because he knows it's the way in which we will honor God both now and forevermore. It's His word that gives us reason to serve Him. It's His word that gives us reason to love Him. It's His word that gives us reason to treasure Him. It's His word that gives us reason to place Him number one in our lives. If we choose to do it in our own strength, we choose to please God in our own wisdom, the chances of us ending up with an attitude like Martha is very likely. We can serve Jesus in many different ways. We can make our lives just full of trying to show Jesus how much we're devoted to Him. But if it doesn't encompass a heart that is filled with God's Word, who God is and what He has done for us, and allowing our service to be a response to that Word, we will end up like Martha, full of worries, full of being upset, full of focusing the spotlight on us instead of our Savior Jesus Christ. We want to be like Mary and have our lives filled with the Word of life. Just a few moments or a few days later, we're not quite sure, but Mary shows the response to that word that she received on that day. She responds to that word of God that was implanted into her heart. And in John chapter 12, we read how she took a very expensive jar of perfume and wanting to show her devotion, her commitment, just like Martha did on this occasion. She wanted to show that to Jesus. She took this jar of perfume, this expensive perfume. She broke it and poured it on Jesus' feet. And as the aroma filled the room, she washed Jesus' feet with her hair on that occasion, showing Him just how much she loved and cherished Him in her life. A gesture that Jesus recognized as an anointing for His body before His burial. You see, Mary was responding to what Jesus was sharing with her on that occasion. And now her act of devotion, her life of service, was a response to that word. We don't read that she complained that she was making this great sacrifice. We don't read that she was holding up the jar and saying, "Hey, everybody, check me out. Look how great the sacrifice I'm making for Jesus." No. We don't see that at all. Clearly, the focus was on Jesus on this occasion. Because as I said, the whole room was filled with the aroma of this fragrance. And Jesus was the center of this act of service and act of devotion. And when Mary's actions were brought into question by some of her disciples, Jesus came to her defense. And He said this, "Mary has done a beautiful thing for me." A life responding to the word of God is a beautiful thing to God Almighty. And friends, if our service, if our worship, if our very lives are not lived in response to the word of God, if we are not listening continually to His Word, exposing ourselves to the Word of life through Bible studies, through church services, through devotional times with God every day, we will soon find ourselves following the distractions of the world. And we'll soon find ourselves becoming worried and upset because the focus is on us instead of on Christ. But if we allow the Word of God to fuel our lives, to show us the magnitude of God's greatness and His love for us, we'll find ourselves living more and more in response to that truth and living a life that pleases God. We heard it this morning from Pastor John in 2 Timothy. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the person of God, the Christ follower, may be thoroughly equipped for what? For every good work, for living the life that pleases God. Billy Graham's father-in-law served at a hospital in China a big hospital, 400-bed hospital, and he was the only doctor in that hospital. And he served in that hospital until he died. But Billy Graham makes the point of his life that every morning he used to rise at 4:30 and spend 2 to 3 hours just reading the Word of God, not turning to any commentaries, not making notes of anything or any like, just reading the Word of God, allowing God's Word to fill his life. And when he died, the testimony of his staff, the testimony of patients that he treated was this: there was none that could picture the holiness of God and the greatness of God than Billy Graham's father-in-law, Bill Nelson, just through his life and his testimony. Why? Because every day he chose the thing that was needed, the better thing, and that was to be filled, to be fueled with the Word of God. So the challenge and encouragement for us tonight lies in that question: what are we choosing to do in response to the life God has called us to live? Are we filling our lives with the fuel that is necessary to live a life that is pleasing to God? Where is reading God's Word? Where is studying God's Word in the economy of your life tonight? I bet you we don't forget to fill our cars, do we? I bet you when we are in that aeroplane, sitting on that runway, we are trusting that that pilot filled that plane with fuel. I bet you we don't even take it for granted that we've paid the electricity bill so that we can switch on that kettle or switch on that air conditioner or light. What about the Word of God? What place does the Word of God have in your life if you desire to follow Jesus and live the life that is pleasing to Him? Let's pray together.